Would you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verse 17? Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. I'll try not to be before you too long on today. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. I'll just read one verse in your hearing this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatian church, and I'm reading out a New Living Translation of Scripture. And he says, "From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." Can I read that again? It says, "From now on," somebody need to tell somebody this week, "From now on, don't bother me with these things," he says, "for I bear on my body the scars that show I belong to Jesus." One of the many signs of maturity is that as you get older, your priorities shift. There are things that are important to you in your 20s that by the time you get to my age, those things are no longer important to you. Amen. In my 20s, I cared about material things. I cared about what I drove, what I wore. I cared about having the next gadget. I cared about looking a certain way. But the older I have gotten, the more I realize that the only thing that really matters is love. It's the quality of your relationships that matter. I've gotten to the place now where I would rather ride around in a hoopty with a woman who loves me than the Bentley with a woman who can't stand me. Why y'all so quiet? Because you realize it's better to have a healthy relationship than a cool car. All the caps in the world can't give you peace of mind. Hallelujah. So it's better to have peace of mind. I didn't know that in my 20s, but now I'm 40-ish. I know those things are important. Second thing I realized is that the older you get, the less you care about what other people think about you. I can't wait till I get to that age where I couldn't care less what people think. Because when I was in my 20s, I cared very deeply about what people thought about me. So I lived my life trying to be liked by everybody, trying to prove that I was worthy of acceptance. I would try to be a part of a club, whether I liked the people or not. It didn't matter if I liked them. I just wanted them to like me. So I would just sign up for everything because I wanted to be liked. Now that I'm older, I've kind of settled in to who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am in God, and I realize that some people are going to like me and some people are not, and I'm actually okay with that because, quiet as it's kept, there's people I like and people I don't like. Why y'all acting like y'all not telling the truth? I love everybody, but there's some people I would rather not spend a lot of time with. And I'm sure there are people who don't want to spend a lot of time with me. And I'm okay with that now because I'm older. Third thing I noticed as I've gotten older, my tolerance level has decreased. Y'all laughing like y'all know what I'm talking about. There were things I could tolerate in my 20s and my 30s, and now I'm in my 40s. I ain't got time for that. My tolerance for foolishness and being silly and not knowing who I am, my tolerance for that, it has gotten so weak that there are things that I used to accept in my life and in relationships that I'm not accepting it anymore because I accepted it in the past because I had something to prove. But now I don't have anything to prove. So it is what it is. So my tolerance level has gone down. When we were younger parents, we had a high tolerance for noise. Now that we're older parents, our tolerance for noise is like, I want this house to be a library. Okay. take the noise. Huh? Why? Because when you mature, you change. There are things you used to care about. There's things you used to tolerate that you don't tolerate those things anymore. And that's where Paul was in this text today. He had matured in his relationship with God, and there were certain conversations that he wasn't willing to have anymore. There were certain debates that he was not looking to get into anymore. Paul was proficient at presenting the debate in favor of the grace of God. He preached the gospel of grace, and he gave dissertations about the difference between the law and grace and how Christ came and fulfilled the law, and now we're under grace. And he had presented his case. He went all around Asia Minor presenting a case for the gospel of grace. And every now and then, people would come up to him and say, "Paul, what about circumcision?" Paul, in this text, got to the place where one of the things that he was no longer willing to debate and talk about was whether or not new Christians needed to be circumcised in order to prove that they belong to Christ. If you read earlier in the text, he says it for the last time. He says, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. Circumcision is physical. Being a believer is spiritual. Your heart needs to be circumcised. And he said, I've said it for the last time. Do not bother me with this conversation anymore. I'm not saying anything else about circumcision. He said, from now on, I'm telling you right now, from this point forward, don't let anyone trouble me with these sayings. See, y'all can talk about it all you want, but don't bring it to me. And somebody need to tell somebody in your household this week or on your job, listen, y'all can talk about this all you want, but don't bring any of that to me. I've said all that I'm going to say about it. I presented my position, my feelings. I'm not saying anything about it. Don't invite me to your meeting. Don't include me on your group text. I've said all that I'm going to say about this issue. Don't bother me with it. My priorities have shifted. I'm on something else. Now, you still back on this, but my priority has shifted. I don't have time to get in little debates back and forth. I don't have time for it. I remember in my 20s, I would debate biblical and theological issues, Dana. No, that's how we met. We met during one of my debates. I would hold people up in the corner on campus and go to town and tear up everything they believe and rip them from this way and that way. And I was determined like I had something to prove. But now that I'm older, listen, there's some theological debates that I'm just not having anymore. Listen to some of my old sermons. I've already talked about that. I'm not talking about that anymore. Why? Because I realize there's something more important than trying to pin someone up with my theological construct. There's something more important than trying to prove that my view of the Bible and God and life is better than their view. And so there are things that I realize that trip people up. So I'm no longer interested in having conversations that don't lead people close to God but pulls them away. I'm not having any more divisive conversations. Take that somewhere else. I'm not looking to divide. I'm looking to pull us together under the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. I'm not having that conversation, because that conversation leads one group to feel like they are better than another group. And I am not going to contribute to the division that this position is causing in the church. He said, don't talk to me about it. And then the last part of that verse, he says, because I bear in my body the scars that show that I belong to Jesus. In other words, he says, listen, I don't need your religious ritual to validate my relationship with God. He says, listen, I bear the scars in my body that show I belong to Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who was beaten and put in prison time and time again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time he got beat, he left a scar. And he says, listen, it's not the fact that I've been circumcised that shows that I belong to God. It's the fact that I've been beaten for the sake of the gospel that demonstrates I have scars in my body that identify that I belong to Jesus. It's not your spiritual ritual that makes me belong to him. It's my ability to take a beating, look at the scar, and still hold on to my faith. You see, it's in my body. My body testifies that I belong to Jesus. He said, it's in my body. I'm almost done here, but Paul developed scars in his body because of what he went through. As I reflect on this text, I'm reminded that there are three birthdays that I celebrate every year. The first birthday is Saturday, September 23rd, 1972, which is today. And today is the day I was born to my mother, Rosa, and my father, Timothy. So I celebrate that. My second birthday, it's Sunday, January the 31st, 1982. That's the day when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. That's my spiritual birthday. I was born again. Then there's another birthday, my third birthday that I celebrate is next month. It's Wednesday, October the 15th, 1986. That's the day that I had my bone marrow transplant. In September of 86, I was diagnosed with aplastic anemia, and my parents were told that I had 3 to 6 months to live if I didn't have a bone marrow transplant. Then they went on and said the likelihood that he will find a match is slim to none. Then they said if we find a match, there's a 50% chance that it don't work. If it works, then there's a possibility. Y'all hear what I'm saying? If it works, there's a possibility that he will have graft versus host disease and he will not survive. So October 15th, 1986. Over 30 years ago, that was their prediction. One of the dangers of transplantation is graft versus host disease. The host is your body. The graft is whatever organ or tissue that is transplanted into your body. Graft versus host disease is when your host interprets the presence of that tissue as a foreign body that needs to be destroyed. And so what it does, just like when you get a cold, you have a fever and a running nose, your body does what it can do to kill off the thing that has been transplanted. And that's what happened to me a few months after my bone marrow transplant. I got graft versus host disease. And because bone marrow goes throughout the body, it has to choose an organ to attack. And for whatever reason, it chose my lungs. And we're going to set up battleground in these lungs. You know how it feels when you are running and you're trying to catch your breath? All you folks who work out, y'all know what that feels like, right? Imagine feeling like that, but you're not running. Imagine you laying on your bed trying to catch your breath. Rushed me back to the hospital, said I had graft versus host disease, said it wasn't looking good for me. So what they did, they went in, did an open lung biopsy, took a piece of my lung out, stitched it up for me. That procedure left a 3-inch scar on my chest. Out of all the things that happened to me during bone marrow transplantation, the one thing that left the ugliest mark on me was the open lung biopsy, which was after the bone marrow transplant. It was after I thought I was in the clear. We had already celebrated my healing. We thought the worst was over. And here I am on the operating table. They're taking a piece of my lung out. So it left a scar on me. And for a while, I resented that scar. That scar bothered me, frustrated me, made me sad, made me disappointed, made me angry. But then God began to speak to me regarding the scar. And there are two things I learned about scars. I'm going to share these two things with you, and then we'll be done for the day. The first thing I learned about scars is that scars are a reminder of what you've already overcome. Hear what I'm saying. Scars are a reminder of what you already overcame. I realize now that God had to put a mark on my body so that my body would remember even if my mind forgot. Hallelujah to God. God said, no, no, no. I know how you human beings are. Your long-term, short-term memory is problematic. So let me leave a mark on you so that even if your mind doesn't remember, your body will testify to you. So there are times I'm going through difficult situations and I'm frustrated and I'm overwhelmed and I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And by accident, my hand will rub across this scar. And my body will testify, man, you've been through a lot worse than this before. Hallelujah to God. So the scars that we have are a reminder of what God has already done and what he's already brought you through. And so instead of being resentful of the scar and hating the scar, you ought to be thankful for the scar because it's a testimony of what you've already overcome. Hallelujah. It's a reminder. Don't you get concerned about what you're dealing with right now. I know it hurts today, but you've been in worse pain than that before. Here's a reminder that God is faithful and he will bring you through. So scars remind us of what we've already overcome. Second thing I've realized about scars is scars are a confirmation of healing and victory. Hear what I'm saying? They remind you of what you've already overcome, but they're also confirmation of healing and victory. Be careful that when you look at scars, it doesn't just remind you of your injury and you focus on your injury. But they should also be a confirmation of your healing. Why? Because scars are a natural part of the healing process. How do you know when a wound is healing? You first see a scab. How do you know that the wound has been completely healed? Then you see a scar. Come on, let me try to help somebody here. That scars confirm that the healing process is complete. Come on, somebody. Open wounds don't have scars. Open wounds are prone to infection and further injury. When the wound is open, you are gullible and you are susceptible to further injury. But the scar comes and says, this wound has been completely healed. The work is done. Hallelujah to God. So a few years ago, I discovered, thanks to the modern medicine, that there are certain technologies in place that they could do to my scar to make it look better. But I've decided I don't want you to make this scar look better. I want it to stay ugly so that every time I look at it, I am reminded of how bad it was and how far God has brought me. Lord, have mercy. When I look at that scar, which is about 29 years old now, and it has changed over time, but it's still there as a reminder that your healing is complete. Hallelujah to God. I want you to know today that if you came in here today with an open wound or a scar that you hate, I want you to know that God is in the healing business. I want you to know that the Bible says in Psalms 147, says he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Lord have mercy. Here is what I also discovered, that my procedure, what I went through in my physical body, did not just leave physical scars, but there were some emotional scars that it created. Anybody who's been sick for a long period of time, anybody who's gone through anything difficult in their body, you know it's not just a physical fight, but it's an emotional fight. It's a mental fight. It's a spiritual fight. So not only was there a mark on my body that reminded me of what God has done for me, but there's a mark in my spirit, in my emotions, in my mind that reminded me of what God has done for me. And here's how you know when you've been healed from an emotional scar. Just like physical wounds have to be a scar. Listen, if you still think about something and every time you think about it, you go back to the day it first happened, if it still feels like it happened just yesterday, your wound is still open. Can I tell you, there are days where I forget that I even had a bone marrow transplant. Hallelujah. When there were days when I didn't think I would ever come out of it. And so what I'm saying to you, that in this room right now, God has orchestrated this day. You are officially in the emergency room. Hallelujah. If you came in this place with an open wound, can I tell you, it is not God's will for you to go through life with open wounds and spitting out infection every place that you go. It is not God's will for you to live with a low-grade fever where you can cry at any time. No, it is not God's will for you to be soaking your wounds and wrapping your wound year after year after year. Every time you think about it, it's like they took the knife and cut you all over again. The devil is a liar. Lord have mercy. I come to tell somebody today that you are going to start developing scar tissue over that open wound. Hallelujah. Oh yes, you will get to the place where you will remember it, but it won't hurt anymore. When I look at this scar, I forget how bad it hurt. And I'm telling you that God is setting us up today to be healed from our spiritual and emotional wounds. Don't leave here today with a gaping wound, hurting and hardened, and you can't move past the injury. We serve a God who with one word can speak healing to your life, and he will kick off the healing process. The Bible says he sent his word and he healed them. Why do you think the adversary wants you to stay home when you're hurt? Because if you come to the church, then you'll get healed, and he would rather have you hurt so you stay at home and you put salt in your own wound. But I canceled that assignment today. Come on, somebody. No more triage up in this place. The physician is in the room and he has come to heal us today. Today can be a birthday for you where you can start living all over again where September 23rd next year, we'll celebrate this day together. You'll say, it's not just your birthday, Pastor, but it's my birthday too. Hallelujah. Because I remember what it was like when I came in here with an open wound. And I remember when I felt the touch of God. I even felt some scar tissue developing on my way home. Stand to your feet, please. I want to pray in this place. I need every believer in this house today who have ever been touched by the healing power of God, who knows what it's like to have a gaping wound with an infection in it, where you're oozing day and night, but you also know what it's like to be touched by the hand of God. I want you to open up your mouth and start pulling on heaven today. I need some people who understand the power of God in this room. Somebody here is leaving here healed, delivered, and set free. Last night was the last night you cried over that issue. Last night is the last night that you tossed and turned over that injury. I'm telling you today that the hurting has to stop today. Hallelujah. Why should you be hurt when you can be healed? Come on, let's pull on heaven. Open up your mouth and we're going to pray. Pull on heaven, pull on heaven, pull on heaven today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come on, saturate this atmosphere with the presence of the Lord. Come on, invite the healer in the room. Hallelujah. That scar tissue is meant to help you. It's a confirmation that you've been healed. It's a confirmation of healing and victory. Jesus, Jesus, come on. Let's call the physician. I can't hear you. Call the physician in the name of Jesus. 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 God, we thank you for your presence in this room right now. We thank you that you are our healer. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that you heal us wherever we hurt. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, we're almost there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you would release your healing in this place. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will heal us every place we are hurting. In the name of Jesus.